Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Riverhead Schools plan to cut nearly 38 teaching positions, making it the latest school district on Long Island to announce layoffs as federal COVID funding is set to run out and state budget negotiations continue. Dan Denzel reports on Newsday.com that full-time equivalent of 37.8 teaching positions would be eliminated after the school year ends, said Riverhead District School spokesman Ron Edelson. Of those, 19 would be excessed completely and 4 reduced to below full-time, said Gregory Wallace, president of Riverhead Central Faculty Association. 15 positions would be cut through attrition. Those jobs would not be filled. Wallace said the affected teachers, none of them tenured, were notified last Friday. It's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching to go through this, he said. This is purely budgetary. It's not based on what the students need. They are losing out on needed services and academic intervention. The affected positions include 11 in elementary schools and 1.5 in music assigned to elementary schools, Wallace said. On the secondary level, the cut positions include 2 in English, 1 in foreign languages, 1.7 in art, 2 in social studies, 1.2 in math, and 0.4 in science. Wallace also pointed to charter school tuitions, tax abatements given by the Riverhead Industrial Development Agency, and years of underfunding from the state as reasons for Riverhead School District's financial woes. Over a week now since their hometown heroes, transoceanic, nationally proclaimed Seven Seas Trek triumphantly concluded, Bonnick is still buzzing about Cole Brower, the 29-year-old, 5'2", 100-pound, 2012 East Hampton High School graduate who had been sailing solo around the world since October 29th. She arrived at the Global Solo Challenges race's finish line in Spain early morning on the 8th of March on her 40-foot boat, First Light, becoming the first American woman to sail solo nonstop around the world's three great capes and the 18th woman to do it overall. The Bonnick community, along with 450,000 other friends, closely followed Brower's journey since the early days of her solo voyage, cruising along with each of Cole's posts and stories. Ms. Brower tells the New York Times that she received as much from her followers as she gave them. They are so loving, she said. I send a photo of a sunset, and they paint watercolors of the scene to sell and raise money for the campaign. When I start to feel down, they let me stand on their shoulders. That's Cole Brower. The flag of the Republic of Ireland flies on the village green in Jamesport. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that Linda Simonson and Leanne Simonson, Grand Marshals of the 2024 Jamesport St. Patrick's Day Parade later this month, hoisted the Irish tricolor up the flagpole on Wednesday afternoon. Past Grand Marshals, local elected officials, and community residents looked on. A bagpiper from the Suffolk County Emerald Society provided music for the event. The Jamesport St. Patrick's Day Parade began in 2014, the first St. Patrick's Day Parade in the town of Riverhead. The 2024 parade will march on Saturday, March 30th, beginning at 1 p.m. in Jamesport. New York Governor Kathy Hochul was in Southampton yesterday, where she announced the formal completion of the South Fork Wind Farm, the nation's first utility-scale offshore wind array in federal waters. Governor Hochul called the LIPA project a triumph of New York ambition. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that Hochul, who visited the Stony Brook Southampton campus to pull a ceremonial switch for the $2.01 billion 12-turbine array, said it marked an incredible milestone of progress for New York and for all America, with enough energy to power 70,000 homes. This is how you get it done, she said of the project, built off the coast of New England, 35 miles from Montauk Point, and contracted by LIPA in 2017. The event included U.S. Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland and Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine, a Republican proponent of offshore wind. Romaine said the completion of South Fork Wind will give me a guidepost for the next project, Sunrise Wind, a cable project he helped negotiate through the town of Brookhaven. We're all together in this, he said. South Fork Wind was developed for the Long Island Power Authority by a joint venture partnership between Denmark-based Ørsted and New England utility Eversource. Eversource has since sold its interest in the project. Governor Hochul said bigger setbacks for the nascent U.S. offshore wind industry would not slow the state's progress for 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind by 2035. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that native Long Island tribes and fishermen said the milestone fell short of including their interests. Outside the event on the Stony Brook University Southampton campus, Becky Genia, a Shinnecock Indian Nation member and chairwoman of the Shinnecock Graves Protection Warrior Society, held a sign suggesting that turbines should be built on golf courses, not in the ocean. This is not about eco-friendly or green energy or clean energy. It's about who's going to make the most money in the least amount of time, she said, adding that tribal nations have only received token inclusion in the federal review and benefits of the projects. Brian Polite, outgoing chairman of the Shinnecock Nation, did attend yesterday's event. He said Shinnecock members have not been offered training or jobs from the offshore project. Some Long Island fishermen expressed dismay at completion of South Fork Wind and the project's promised benefits. Long Island Commercial Fishing Association Executive Director Bonnie Brady noted that South Fork and other New York projects have yet to provide a mechanism for compensation for lost fishing grounds and income from those who fish waters hosting turbines and cables. Christopher Walsh of the East Hampton Star reports that a triumphant and long-awaited moment for proponents of clean energy followed when the governor and other officials, including the wind farm's developers, flipped an oversized switch. It really works, the governor said, to officially bring the turbines online, and I assure you it will have national ramifications. Construction of the 12-turbine, 132-megawatt wind farm, located around 35 miles off Montauk Point, was recently completed. It will provide clean, renewable electricity sufficient to power around 70,000 average-size houses. The developers, Ørsted and Eversource Energy, and state and local officials had celebrated the first power flowing from the first completed turbine just 3 months ago at an event in East Hampton Town Hall. On Thursday morning, the governor was among officials noting that a ceremonial groundbreaking for the wind farm's construction had taken place almost 2 years ago to the day at LTV Studios in Waynescott. The wind farm's export cable makes landfall in Waynescott at the Ocean Beach by Beach Lane. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.